weeks ago, and I want to elaborate on that this morning. The world is in transition. You and I have experienced things that we never thought we'd ever experience. We know that COVID took a knock on the world. A lot of things have been said during COVID. We know that we had been shut down for a while. Yes, it seems to be in the distant past, but we still see the effects of it today. So we recognize that we are in a transition, and the transition doesn't seem to be beneficial. Really doesn't seem to be beneficial. There's so many changes taking place worldwide. There's so much war going on at the moment. There's so much hatred going on at the moment. A guy just day before yesterday decided to wipe his entire family out, including his kids, just for no rhyme or reason. He just got the hell in. And so we find life hasn't got much value attached to it any longer. So if we are in a transition and things are being enforced on the public, things that you and I am not accustomed to, particularly the old guard. You've got to remember, I'm from the dinosaur age. So I'm old guard. We've got younger generation folks here now. So the transition is easier for them. But also what is being presented to them at times is not necessarily in line with the word of God. So we ask ourselves, if we are in the transition, what book, what guide is there for us? What's available for us? How do I know what is truth? Not somebody telling me the truth. What is truth? Well, truth is not something that is written. Truth is a person. And that person is Jesus Christ. Now, we have folks that may say, well, I don't believe in Jesus Christ. And that's fine. That's your prerogative. The same way as I don't believe in God, people would say. Well, that's your prerogative. But my answer to that will be, just hang on, you will meet him one day. Just because you don't believe doesn't mean he doesn't exist. So you will meet him one day, whether you like it or not. I'm not referring to you, I'm saying general now. So what is truth then? Well, Jesus is truth. And what I've discovered over the years, if something new wants to be implemented within the culture, it's something different that the existing culture doesn't like. So we want to introduce something different, an alternative lifestyle. How do we introduce an alternative lifestyle to a culture that doesn't want it? Well, I've noticed things over the years. The first thing would be to get the people to sympathize with you because you are the minority that wants to bring a change into culture or change the culture. So what do? You get people to sympathize with you. And once the people sympathizes with you, then you start gaining momentum, and then you get to the point, years, it doesn't happen overnight. It takes years to get the people to sympathize, little bit, little bit, little bit. Then once you get to the point that people are sympathizing with you, and that's happening throughout the world, not just in America. Once people are sympathizing with you, then it gets to the point that you can now normalize the alternative lifestyle. And once you got to the point when you introduce the new lifestyle as normal, there's a third thing that happens. You demonize the old culture. And in demonizing the old culture, you are wrong and have been wrong all the time. So where are we now in America? Well, we're right there. We now want to demonize, or people want to demonize those that believe in God, those that believe in the way that God has ordered the structure of mankind, the human race. So once that gets demonized, what have we got left? And then we ask ourselves, but what is the truth? Or isn't this the truth? No. We've got to seek the truth. And the truth is Jesus Christ himself. And that's why this morning I want to continue with God's indescribable gift and wrap it up so we can start to thrive again in 2025. God's indescribable gift. What is indescribable? That which cannot be related. That which is unutterable. The idea is that no words can properly express the greatness of the gift given to mankind, which we just celebrated on Wednesday, Tuesday night and Wednesday. The greatest gift given to mankind, to the human race. But yet the human race doesn't identify it. Yet the human race doesn't want it. Why not? Isn't that exactly the same thing that happened to Adam and Eve? God was there. And he told them not to do something. And what did they do? They did it. Come on, parents, how oftentimes haven't you told your children, don't do it? What do they do? They do it. I don't want them to burn their fingers. What do? They burn their fingers. And what do? I told you so. Give them a whack. So we find Adam and Eve was no different. The gift given to mankind goes beyond the understanding of the human brain. How do you describe that which is spirit when all we have ever known is that which is either physical or material? Observable? Tangible? How can we relate to that which is spirit? Most can't. We can't. The same way Adam and Eve heard what God said to them. And if we go back to Adam and Eve, when God created them, they were perfect. In other words, there was no sin in any case. So how did they know what was wrong? They've never experienced wrong. They never experienced falsehood. They had no experience but the presence of God. That's all they had. So how in the world did they know what was wrong? They didn't. Or is it possible that internally God had placed something within them? If we want to bring it into our day and age, there was a gut feeling. Now you and I know that gut feeling. And you know exactly what I'm talking about. There's times you want to do something and your gut feeling tells you what? Don't do it. Is it possible that that gut feeling was in Adam and Eve? But they chose to violate that. And went against what God had given to them. The instructions. But how do you and I relate to something which we cannot see? How do you describe God who has all knowledge when you and I have only limited knowledge? But yet we follow the trend. Yet we listen to those in charge. Yet we listen to those that are elected. And we want to follow government's instructions. Laws given to us by mere man. And yet we want to obey the laws more that are given to us by mere man than obey the word of God that supersedes the laws of human man. I think we screwed up. How do you describe the indescribable? Well, Paul says, you can't. That's what he says. Paul says you cannot. Words aren't adequate to describe the indescribable gift God has given to us. We've opened our presents. You've opened your presents. They're fantastic. Some of the youngsters, well, that stuff doesn't exist anymore. They've moved on. That present is old. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 15, Message translation, and another translation called the Amplified translation will help us understand this a little bit. Thank God for this gift. Well, I don't believe in God. He still gave a gift. Whether you believe in him or not. But thank God for this gift. His gift. What do you notice? Not my gift. Gift given to me, but he gave the gift. No language can praise it enough. Oh, look at the Amplified version. Now, thanks be to God for his gift. Now, Amplified amplifies the meaning a little bit. And he says, precious. What is precious? The gift. Beyond telling. In other words, this gift is indescribable, unexpressible, and what else? I thought it's only the government that gives some freebies. No, God gave us a freebie. This indescribable gift. And from those two scriptures or different translations, you recognize the giver is who? The God that you and I either don't believe in or take for granted. You see, I've been very persuasive and I've been very strong on this. There is no ways that this world created itself. There is no ways. We've got to the point in the human race that common sense is no longer common. I don't even think it's called sense. I think it's called stupidity. There is no ways, and maybe some of you will be offended, and I trust not if you will just listen. There is no ways that this entire universe, as intricate as it is, that everything seems to be there by design, evolved and created itself. Impossible. Common sense doesn't allow that. Logic doesn't permit that. Because you and I know everything that's there, there was a designer and a creator. So then God, who is the giver, gave Christ. So who else could give Christ? Well, nobody. Man couldn't produce Christ. Man was at enmity with God. We'll see that later on. We've got to go back. What we are celebrating, this gift of Wednesday, Christmas Eve, Tuesday, we've got to go back to where the origin of this virtually started, with a statement by God in the Garden of Eden. That's where it started. But if you want to go further back, all this was designed before the creation of the earth, the heavens and the earth, before the foundations of the earth was laid. So I find there's a being that is supernatural, a being that is not tangible, a being that I cannot see, but yet a being that knows more than what I know. And yet I live my life as if I'm the macho, not recognizing that my life that I think is sometimes macho is actually pathetic. In what way? Oh, I'll see you tomorrow. Really? Really? What guarantee can you give me you'll see tomorrow? None. None. So who's in charge? And that's why the Bible tells us our life is like a blade of grass. Green today, withered tomorrow. It's like a puff. That's our life. So we are not so macho after all. Because the Bible explicitly states, as Solomon rightly said, there's a time to be born and there's a time to die. So I recognize, common sense makes me recognize that there is a God. This God who gave Christ. At the same time, God gave this indescribable gift, Jesus, to us. The amazing thing was that when he was given this gift, the creator of the universe that gave us this indescribable gift, he was not worshipped. He was not adored by the majority of the people. We find that this indescribable gift, as you go into theology and you discuss theology with others and you look at the significance of this gift, you then come to the conclusion that this gift that is now man is also God. That blows your mind. But yet this God that created the entire universe took upon himself the form of man and landed himself in a manger, a feeding trough for animals. How humiliating. How humiliating. The person... Oh, if you want to really get into it a little bit and you want to go into the book of Galatians and you will find the description of this gift, Jesus, all things were created by him and all things were created for him and for his own pleasure. And yet he's born in a feeding trough. Nuts. Not logical. But humility. He wasn't worshipped. He wasn't served. Except Mary pondered all these things and held it dear to her heart. When she gave birth to Jesus, the Magi came and they worshipped him. Very few. As a matter of fact, Bethlehem went on with its normal to-do list. We weren't even aware of this indescribable gift that was born. Life as usual. And so life as usual continues even today. Christmas, did our thing, came to service, went and did our thing and enjoyed the day. Life as usual. He wasn't worshipped. He wasn't loved. He was sinned against. Oh, Herod, let's kill all these babies 2 years and under. Because he's a threat to my kingdom. The same thing today. Somebody gets in your way, let's eliminate them. The quickest thing today, when you have a disagreement with somebody, is eliminate them. It's the easiest outcome for you. Unworshipped. Look at 1 John 4:10. This is love. Now we're looking at the gift. We're looking at the giver of the gift. This is love. And folks, I'm not here to promote a religion. No. Forget that you are in a building like this. The only reason we're here, it's nice and warm. We got heating in here. But this is not a place that I'm going to tell you, you got to be here or you're going to hell. No, this is the place where the word of God is preached. This is where I believe in God. I believe in the Bible. And if you disagree, give me an alternative to believe. If you don't believe Jesus is truth, give me an alternative to believe what is truth. There is none. So I'm asking you this morning to have an open mind, to listen to what I'm saying, and you can disagree, absolutely, we can debate that. But my goal, my aim this morning is to present God to you in a different form, in a different way. There's one that loves us. And we find that here. This is love. Not that we have loved God. And maybe that's where you are this morning. You don't love God because you've just seen terrible things. And you say, if God is the God of love, why is there so much hatred? If God is the God of love, why is there so much war? So maybe you've got a different concept of God, but I want to present to you, this is love. Not that we have loved God, But that he what? He loved us. He still loves us. Are you lovable? In my sinful state, there's nothing to love. But he loved me. But that he loved us and sent his son, this indescribable gift. The gift that is of such great value that words cannot explain it. And he says, and he sent his son, this indescribable. So now we get a glimpse. Why did God send the son? Why did God take upon himself the form of a human being born out of a virgin? Why? Firstly, because God loves. Secondly, there's a payment for our sin. And that's what he says. He loved us and sent his son to be the payment for our sin. Wow. I never knew I was a sinner. Well, I'm a good sinner. I just go to California and I make sure that I take everything under $1,000, and that's not a sin. The Bible says all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. According to who? According to who? All have sinned. According to who? God. But who's God? Who does he think he is? To call me a sinner? The creator of the universe. The giver is God. The gift, a free gift. In other words, nothing was given in exchange. On Tuesday night and Wednesday night, gifts were given and there was an exchanging of gifts. When God gave, there was nothing to exchange. I was against him. I didn't follow his rules. His rules are too narrow-minded. I don't follow his rules. But I'm a sinner. You see, when God gave the free gift, man had nothing to give in exchange. Nothing. God is holy, I'm not. God is pure, I'm not. God is righteous, I'm not. God is just, I'm not. So what can I give him? Nothing. Nothing at all. Ephesians 2 verse 8 and 9. Saving is all his idea. Whose idea? Saving, setting free, delivering, paying the price. Saving is all his idea. In other words, he came up with it. So I asked this morning, if God is love, why is it that we don't want to accept him? Why is it that we are so anti-God? Because a culture raises us that way. But yet when we see that God is love from a different perspective and we erase all this trash out of our minds, we recognize, you know what? I can love him. Saving is all his idea and all his work. All we do is what? Trust him. You trust the electrical switch when you put it on for the lights to go on. So why can't you trust the very chair you're sitting on? Why? All we do is trust him enough to let him do it. It's all God's gift, this indescribable gift. It's all God's gift from start to finish. We don't play the major role. Any reason why not? Why not? Well, there the answer is. We'd probably go around bragging that we've done the whole thing. Big shots. I found the solution to man's sin. And we go bragging about it. What I like about this gift, it's not only a free gift, it's a voluntary gift. Nobody forced God to do this. Nobody was able to bribe God. No billionaire could bribe God. It was a voluntary gift. prompted by divine compassion. Think of those things. Prompted by divine compassion and love. So this indescribable gift, which we celebrated on Wednesday and Tuesday night, this gift came because of love. Compassion. How many of us love to be loved? Yeah, we love it. It's nice when somebody loves you, right? And yet the people sometimes that you trust that love you stab you in the back. Ephesians 2 verse 4. But God is so rich in mercy, and he loved us so much. Let me date myself. I told you I'm from the dinosaur age. In dating myself, I got to use the song that many of you older folks sang. Jesus loves me, this I know. For the Bible tells me so. The Bible? I've never heard of a Bible. And it is so true. It's the least read book in the entire world. The Bible. And yet the bestseller for ages and ages and ages. Divine love. It's an undeserved gift in Romans 6:23. And I want to just go with a faster pace. Romans 6:23. Today's English version, another translation in the Word of God or paraphrase. For sin pays its wage. You work, you want a wage. Now the Bible says we've been born into sin, whether I like it or not. I've been born into sin, going back to Adam and Eve. So this sin has continued until this day and will continue. The atmosphere we're in, the world we're in, we're living in a world of sin. That's why people do those terrible things, because of sin. But the Bible says, for sin pays its wage. So you know what a wage is. You work and you get a wage. But what is the wage for sin? Death is not 6 foot under. Death is separation from God. But God's, here we go, guys, come on now. But God's free gift, look at the contrast. Firstly, wage of sin is death. But God's free gift, this indescribable gift is what? Notice, in union with Christ, which means a bring together, a reconciliation. A bringing together, once that was one that was separated, can now be reconciled through the gift. So don't you think it's nuts to reject the gift? I think it's nuts. Are you entitled to your opinion? Yeah, but it's my opinion. It's nuts. To reject this free gift. From the wages of sin, which is death, which is separation from God. But if I receive this free gift, I've got eternal life, which is in union with Christ. Who won't want this? Maybe we got to present it a bit more with compassion. Maybe it's worthwhile for us to start sharing these things with our fellow neighbors. God loves you. And look at this. He's given us a gift, an indescribable gift. But this is not just an undeserved gift because we've done nothing to earn it. Have you ever thought about what can I do to impress God? I thought about it. Maybe if I give him a 9 mil. Maybe if I give him a Mercedes. No, Maserati, Ferrari. He doesn't need anything. So I can't impress him. I'll just make a fool of myself. This is not only an undeserved gift, it's a continuous gift. In other words, Christ can be accepted anytime, any place, in any circumstances. Romans 10:13. Look at this. This is fantastic. This gift was given almost 2,000 years ago, in particular Jesus Christ, the indescribable gift. But anyone now, the Bible says, who calls upon the name of the Lord will be saved. So can I still receive the gift today? Yeah. Don't you find this amazing? The gift is never outdated. The gift cannot be improved. It's still available. This gift is still available. Don't you think it's worthwhile getting this gift? Don't you think it's worthwhile accepting this gift that can revolutionize your life? Oh, no, no, it can impact your future. This gift is an amazing gift. Christ, Jesus Christ, an indescribable, unspeakable gift. And now we ask, how expensive were your gifts? How much money did you spend this Christmas season? I don't want to see your credit card bill by the end of the month. Some people work for a second job, get a second job just to pay the Christmas gifts off. So what did the gifts cost you? What are the presents? Because, you know, you can't just buy the one. You got to be this one, that one. And this one can't be less expensive than this one because there'd be rivalry and somebody feel they're insignificant. So you got to try and make it sure it's okay for everybody. But no matter what you try, you're still going to make a mistake somewhere along the line according to the perception of the individual that receives the gift. I don't want this gift. Get over it. And then I don't know how mom and dad feels when the little one throws a tantrum and throws that little gift against the wall and it splatters into pieces. Oh, I know what I would do. I won't tell you. This gift. What's the value? The costliest of all gifts. Can you put a number to the value of this gift? Do you think there's dollars that can equate the gift, the value of this gift? Who can estimate the value of such a gift as this? God Himself. Not a representative. He didn't send an angel. God Himself. No angels, no other worlds, no galaxies. God Himself is the gift. How do you put a price on God? How do you put a value on God? I can't. Through Him we were pardoned. Through Him we were cleansed. Through Him we were sanctified. Through Him we were adopted. There's no price that He can equate that. Oh, and splendor? Oh my gosh. His presence made heaven glorious. In 1 Chronicles, 29:11, a Message paraphrase Bible. To you, O God, look at this now, guys, belong the what? The greatness and the might, the glory, the victory. You see how we're working with words over here? That's the least we can do, or is that as far as our mentality goes? Because I can't go greater than these words. What other words are there? Splendor, majesty. Give me some greater words, but I'm running out of words. Yes, everything in heaven, everything on earth, the kingdom all yours. You raised yourself high over all. Look at the description of God. This gift that's so indescribable. And then as I look at the splendor of this gift, we've touched on it earlier on, and I want to just go back to that again. Who are the recipients of this gift? God's going to give a gift. You know who your recipients are. You didn't write on one of your presents to whomsoever. You had a name on that gift. You had a name on the present. To my dear, to my beautiful, to my wonderful son, my daughter. Tomorrow it's a nightmare. But what do we find? Who are the recipients of this gift? Who are the recipients? Kangaroos, zebras, monkeys. Yeah, I'm a monkey sometimes. No. The recipients of the gift, human beings, the human race. Because it was the human race that disobeyed God and was separated from God. And there's only one way to get back to God, and it's through this undescribable gift or indescribable gift. There's no other way. No other. You cannot work your way. You cannot pay your way. You cannot earn your way. You've got to receive the gift. Human beings, Christ was given to the human race, not to angels, not to the animal kingdom, to mankind. If Christ was given to me, what a future must be before those who receive this gift. Now, if the gift was given to me, to the human race, does it have an impact on me? Does the gift do something in my life? Not only now, but afterwards, after death. There's many people that believe when you die, that's it. No. The Bible doesn't say that. So once again, I go back to the very first statement. If there's changing in culture and changing in society, what is truth? And the truth is only the word of God. There is no other truth. So if I receive this gift, What can I expect? 1 Corinthians 2 verse 9 may explain it a little bit better for you and me. This is what the scriptures mean when they say, no eye has seen, no ear has heard, and no mind has imagined what God has prepared for those who love him. Direct quotation from the book of Isaiah 700 years before this was written. Maybe 800 years. So, in receiving this gift, this indescribable, unexplainable gift, if I accept it, no eye has seen, no ears heard, no mind has imagined what God has prepared for those who love him. So does that mean there's life after death? Yeah. And I don't want you to get to that point when you do die, and there's life after death, and you say, oops, it's too late. Too late. He was not only given to the human beings, he was given to fallen human beings. The Bible says man was made a little lower than the angels, but soon fell much lower, and then the gift came. A terrible thought. The fallen human being. But we receive this indescribable, unspeakable gift. And yet this unspeakable, indescribable gift is being rejected. And why? Why? Can somebody explain that to me? Why is this gift being rejected? Or let's get a little personal. This man gives me a gift. I look at it. And I throw it back at him. I don't want this gift. How does he feel? But that's what God does. He gives us a gift. And people reject the gift. And isn't it maybe a possibility that God is trying to say, why? Why? Look what I'm giving them. Life. Forgiveness. And they don't want it? That's human nature. We celebrate the fact that Jesus came into our world to save us. God saw that mankind needed saving. And we find that explicitly in Galatians 4 verse 4. And I did a series on this some time ago. In Galatians 4 verse 4, I want you to notice the wording. When the proper time had come. And we've asked ourselves the questions before. What is the proper time? When was the proper time? Why was that the proper time? So when the proper time had come, God sent his son. And now we see the form taking place. How did this come? God sent his son, born of a woman, the virgin, notice, born subject to the regulations of the law, to do one thing only, to purchase the freedom of what? To ransom, to redeem, to atone for those who were subject to the law, that we might be, notice, adopted. This God that we were separated from sent this indescribable gift, that if we accept this gift, we now become adopted people? That we might be adopted into what? Into his family? And have sonship conferred upon us. Oh, sonship. Which means he owns me. He's mine. I'm his. He's my father. I'm his son. And now I can walk around. I don't have to say, I'm a son of Trump. I don't have to say, I'm a son of Musk. I don't have to say, I'm a son of Gates. No. I'm a son of the living God because I've received the gift, Jesus Christ. That supersedes everything else. You see, God saw mankind needed saving and he did something. And when God looked at our world, he knew that our greatest need is not for wealth. There's enough millionaires and billionaires. When he looked at our world, he knew that our greatest need is not for wealth, nor better schooling, nor better welfare system. Our greatest need is for a savior to set us free, to ransom us, to redeem us. You know, kids, children, and adults, husband, wives, you know that children know how to get to your heart. They know how to tweak their voice. They know how to whisper. They know how to plead with you as a parent. And when they look at you with a certain way, your heart just melts, no matter what they've done. We find that even in the marriage, husband and wife, they know. For instance, when my wife's voice changes, honey, I know something's going to be asked. Honey, you know what will melt God's heart? I'll tell you what will melt God's heart. God save me. That melts his heart. God saved me. That's exactly what he sent his son to do. To save me. Lord, save me. A priceless gift indeed. Two translations of one scripture and we close. John 1:14. The Word. God. The creator of the heavens and the earth. Became human. The indescribable gift. And lived among us for a while in physical form. Not spiritual. In physical form. Notice that. The Word, if you study John 1:1, you'll find it. The Word is God. God became human and lived among us. Look at the next translation. Contemporary English translation. The Word became a human being and lived with us. There was a reason, there was a purpose. He had to live among us, to reveal God to us, and then he had to die and be raised from the dead so that we can be saved. Isn't that wonderful? A priceless gift indeed, because Christ came to earth, and these are the results. These are the impact. I only mentioned three big ones. In receiving the indescribable gift, it's not a white man gift. It's not a black man gift. It's not an Hispanic gift. It's a gift for the white man, a gift for the black man, a gift for the Hispanic. It's a gift for the Jew. It's a gift for all Gentiles. This gift, once you receive it, does certain things. When you open that present of yours, it can do certain things. You push a button and the thing can go. There's a purpose for that. When you accept the gift, Jesus Christ, you receive pardon. Pardon, forgiveness of sins. Not only do you receive pardon, but when you receive Jesus as the gift in your life, you receive peace. Remember what I said last week or Wednesday, Tuesday? Peace is not just the absence of war. Peace is a person. Same as life is a person. Peace is Jesus. He's called the Prince of Peace. So accepting the gift, you have peace inside. Peace with God. Peace with yourself. That's what everybody's yearning for, peace. Oh, I don't want to go on to the next session. You're hungry. People want peace. And guess what? We're looking through all negotiations. We want to negotiate. We want to negotiate. We want to negotiate this deal. We want to have the art of the deal over there. Guys. Receive Jesus. If Jesus is applied, there will be no war. Because he's the Prince of Peace. So you receive pardon, you receive peace, and on top of that, you receive eternal life. In other words, life forever in this form and in the next life forever with the indescribable gift, Jesus Christ. Jesus, the greatest gift of all time. Indescribable. And in a few seconds, our music team is going to lead us in a fantastic song. Overwhelmed. I'm overwhelmed by this. But in the meantime, let's pray. Father,